So we were on the segment, Hallowing This Name, and the key scripture we have on that is, He is before all things, and in Him all things hold together. And I'm just going to review some of the things that we talked about last time we met, and we talked about how we have to understand how He is holding all things together. As we have been, this whole theme through this entire lesson has been on building a building, on completion, on making it to the finish line, guys. And at no time ever has it been more important that we understand the importance of making it to the finish line. Because I'm telling you, whether you believe it or not, the enemy is trying to derail us. He is trying to derail us. He's trying to get us off track. He's trying to get us distracted. He's trying to get us off on all these other things. I just look at just the events of the week and the shootings and the all the things that has happened that's trying to divide, not just the, and you got to see what the enemy is doing. So you can see the front story, but you need to see the back story. You need to see the spiritual story, because the enemy is trying to divide the nation and divide the nations, not just this nation. He's trying to divide the nation. He'll divide us on any issue he can divide us on. He'll divide us on political party. He'll divide us on race. He'll divide us on religion. He'll divide us. He'll just keep dividing us, getting us fighting, getting us intolerant of anything, so that we are fighting and fighting. But folks, I'm telling you, we got to look again to our banner, the blood-stained banner of Jesus Christ. I love this nation, and I love the Pledge of Allegiance to the flag, but I'm telling you, I love this pledge better, because this pledge is going to keep me on the dark days. Okay, and last time we met, we talked about this pledge to the Christian flag. And, you know, I just want you to just really have this in your heart, because this is where we stand as believers. Even when our emotions are high, we don't go back to the old ways of doing things. We stand on this banner. We stand under this banner. We love. We don't return evil for evil or insult for insult, but we stand under the love and the blood of Jesus Christ on every situation coming. And if your emotions are high, I tell you, turn on some praise and worship and start praising Him and start worshiping Him and let the Holy Spirit come in and move you to where you should be as a child of God. And the pledge says, I pledge allegiance to the Christian flag and to the Savior for whose kingdom it stands. One Savior, crucified, risen, and coming again with life and liberty to all who believe. And then the pledge to the Bible, I pledge allegiance to the Bible, God's holy word. I will make it a lamp to my feet and a light unto my path, and I will hide it words in my heart that I might not sin against God. Folks, I'm telling you, this is where we need to be right now. This is where we need to be more than any time in history. We need to be standing on the Word of God and in the Word of God. So please don't be carried about, you know, pray for what you see. Pray for what you hear. Don't let anybody carry you off into some group and some sect other than the sect of believers, the sect of the people that stand on the Word of God. That's where we stay, and that's where we believe, and that's where we will have victory under this banner. The Word of God says, and I'm just going to read our scripture from Isaiah 11 that's in your lesson, and it says, in that day, the heir to David's throne will be a banner of salvation to all the world. Don't you know the world needs Jesus? That's what they need. The nations... It's on your lesson. It's under Hallowing This Name. The nations will rally to him, and the land where he lives will be a glorious place. In that day, the Lord will reach out his hand a second time to bring back the remnant of his people. Those who remain in Assyria, in northern Egypt, in southern Egypt, Ethiopia, Elam, Babylonia, Hamath, and all the distant coastlands. He will raise a flag among the nations and assemble the exiles of Israel. He will gather the scattered people of Judah from the ends of the earth. And he's talking about, I'm going to open this door because it's kind of warm in here to me. He's not just talking about physical Israel. He's talking about spiritual Israel. Folks, he's gathering his people right now. You know, what the enemy means for evil, God's turning it into good. You know, we spent weeks and weeks talking about the headstone of the corner. We talked about, yes. Oh, is that your song? The cornerstone?
No, this is the song we sang last week.
Oh.
God said he can turn it around.
He can turn it around. In fact, he will turn it around. But it is going to turn around as we stand on the Word of God. As we stand in the Word of God. I'm going to make a time for comments in a minute, in a while. Margaret, let me just finish this lesson. Hold it, okay? I'll get to it. So we are just standing under the banner of Jesus Christ at this time. And it amazes me how when we're going through a lesson, how things come up and how the lesson just applies to the things that have come up. And we want to stand on this. As I said, if we just come here and let this word just roll off our backs, what good does it do? We're wasting our time. We don't need to be meeting here, you know. But if we take in this word and we digest and we live it, then we're making a difference in this world. So we continue on in our lesson. I think we went all the way through as we were talking about the point where it says a building is erected for purpose and protection. I think that's where we left off. We talked about how we hollow and how we hold strong to the headstone of the corner. When things happen, we don't murmur and we don't complain about it, but we understand the providence of God and we understand that he is in control. Nothing slipped by his hand. Nothing slipped by him. And he's like, oh my goodness, I didn't know that was going to happen. That doesn't happen. God knows what has happened. You know, mankind chooses so many different things. You know, he doesn't violate our free will. That's a gift he gave us, our free will. And people say, well, why doesn't God stop? You know, and I'm like, you know what? He gave us free will and he won't take it back because he does not take back what he's given. What he's given, he's given. So our place is to pray. Our place is to pray for his sovereign hand to come in and intervene where it will. That God's will be done and God's kingdom would come on this earth. So we were at a point where we were talking about a building is erected for purpose and protection. So it is for the spiritual house Christ is building in your life. Its purpose is to offer sacrifices to God. The choices you make as you live your life are sacrifices to God. Some are small and some are great. These sacrifices make your spiritual house strong so that you are protected when the storms of life come. You know, God has prepared all of us. He has been preparing us over the past years. He's been preparing us and building the spiritual house, his temple. Remember, the scripture says your body's a temple of the Lord. You know, when you're this body that he gave you to live in, it is a temple of the Lord. And sometimes the Lord will see if you will make a sacrifice. Sometimes the enemy is meaning it to irritate you or to push your buttons. But God is looking at, will you make the sacrifice? Will you keep your tongue? Or will you blurt out whatever is in your mind and tell people off, you know, and do all this and do all of that? He's looking, will you make the sacrifice? Will you be like the humble king? You know, the Lamb of God. I mean, if you just examine just that title that he has, the Lamb of God, not the sheep of God, not the ram of God, but the Lamb of God, the Lamb, the Lamb is the young one. The Lamb is the innocent one. The Lamb is, it doesn't exert its own will. It just will go wherever you lead it. You know, He became a Lamb of God. Whatever God wanted for him to do, that's what he did. Remember his words, not my will, but thy will be done. Even when he knew what was ahead of him in crucifixion, even though he knew what was ahead of him in suffering, he still bowed his head and became the Lamb of God. So God is looking for you to do the same. Will you sacrifice? Will you walk in obedience? See, when we're talking about this building that he's building, these lively stones, that we are supposed to be these lively stones, and he's building his temple, the mortar that we talked about that holds those bricks together is obedience. The obedience is the mortar. Because you can, as I said, you can hear this all you want. You can come to Sunday school, come to church, hear all the preaching you want. But if you're not going to obey it, how can he build the next level on you? He can't build the next level because the first level won't hold. The second level won't hold because the first level has not been obeyed. So folks, let's walk with him. Let's obey him. As I said, sometimes the sacrifices are small and sometimes the sacrifices are great, but he knows what sacrifices we need to make. And as the old preacher said, nothing between my soul and my Savior. That's got to be our theme. That's got to be our mindset. Nothing between my soul and my Savior. You know, and again, I'm reminded of that scripture that Jesus used. If anyone does not hate their mother, their father, wow, their sister, brother, children, husband, wife, and even your own life, he says, more than me, then you're not worthy. You can't walk. We'll get to it. Well, you can't walk with me if you do not hate. And that's a strong word. That's a harsh word. But Jesus is trying to show you a comparison. In comparison to your love for me, you have to hate everybody else, and even your own life, your own agenda, your own plan. And if you can't do that, then you're not, how are you going to make it to completion? You know, last week I had the opportunity to minister to this word. And it was a situation where a big crowd, the scripture says a large crowd was following Jesus. You know, because Jesus was healing and Jesus was feeding people. And sometimes people like to hang out with Jesus because of the food and because of the healing. You know, and that's why the large crowd is following him. And then that's when Jesus turned around and he said these words. If anybody does not hate mother, father, sister, brother, husband, and wife, can you imagine? Why say it then? You know, why not teach the love sermon? But no, he taught some of the hardest words that he ever had to teach. He taught some of the hardest words that he ever had to teach was that you have got to make a decision. And folks, every day, I'm telling you, I don't know about you, but every day, every week, I got to make a decision between loving Jesus and loving myself or loving other people. I got to make a decision. Am I going to do it their way or am I going to follow my Lord and Savior? That's what it comes down to. This is a real thing. This is no joke. This is nothing just to make you feel good on Sunday. You got to pack this up and carry it in your stuff on Monday and make a decision. I can't make the decision for you. I can't make the decision for my kids. I can't make those decisions. So you have to make a decision that we are going to put him above everything, nothing between my soul and my Savior. And sometimes, you know, as we get to the next point about the world cannot understand the great value of Christ as a cornerstone of their lives unless they come to him by faith. And you've got to accept that too. People are not going to understand you. Sometimes we want to be understood. And sometimes we think, well, if I explain it this way, you know, then they would understand. If I explain why I did that or why I love Jesus, they'll understand. I'm telling you, it won't happen because you need, some things are spiritually discerned and you will not be understood. Because the scripture says in 1 Corinthians 2, our scripture in here, it says, but the natural or the unbelieving man does not accept the things, the teachings, the revelations of the Spirit of God. For they are foolishness, absurd, and illogical to him. And he is incapable of understanding them because they are spiritually discerned and appreciated. And he is unqualified to judge spiritual matters. Are you getting that? You are a peculiar people. I'm sorry. You're going to be weirdos, okay? You're going to be peculiar. You know? The book I wrote, Leaving Babylon, is all about this, being peculiar, being weird. People don't understand. People don't get you. Why didn't you? You could have. And they're not going to get you, and they're not going to understand why you do or do not do certain things. Even in the church, some people don't understand. I've had people in the church egg me on. Oh, you should. Oh, you shouldn't. You know, God didn't call us to be fools. And I'm like, you know what? We need to pray, and that's what God calls us to do. Because God, I can't say that. I've seen a lot of believers do some things that I thought were like, what? You're going to give up what? And do what? To me, that looked foolish. To the world, that looked foolish. So yes, sometimes he will call you to be a fool for Christ. And you got to be prepared for that. Again, remember what he said? If you don't love, you can't even love your own life. Your own agenda, folks, you got to be ready to lay that agenda down. And we got them. We got them. Well, I'm talking to the melancholies and the cholerics in the room, man. Melancholies, they love lists because everything has got to be just right for them. And Christ comes in. He will come in and he'll change your stuff. As I said, I had a plan. I had a plan. I had an agenda for my life. And Christ came and just shuffles everything. So we got to understand and we've got to make a decision. And it's about a good thing. It's not about a good thing. It's about a God thing. And it's about your personal relationship. Okay? And I'm going to tell you right now, no one else in this whole world can dictate to you your personal relationship with Christ. You got to have this going on. You can't just be following the crowd. Well, so-and-so's going to the Bible study, so I'm going to the Bible study. Oh, so-and-so's going to be a singer, so I'm going to be a singer. Oh, so-and-so's going to go do this, so I'm going to... You got to have this going on so you'll know where you're supposed to be. Folks, you got to, again, we're talking about lining up with the cornerstone. You got to line up with the cornerstone for yourself. You can't look at the brick next to you so you can line up with that brick next to you. Because you don't know what Jesus is doing with that brick. It's none of your business, to tell you the truth. The Lord is, you know, I'm learning now. I'm like, Lord, I'm sorry. I was in your business again. I'm sorry. You do what you want to do with Mary Ann or Joey. I'm all up in your business. I'm sorry. Again, help me, Jesus, to mind my own business and keep this going. And you can tell me what you want to do in my life. So, guys, we got to get this down. We got to get this understanding. So it's about a God thing. It's about that personal relationship. This is a place where you lay down, you got to lay down that pack mentality. Folks, I'm telling you, at this day and age, you better lay down that pack mentality. You know, get out of this, you know, I mean, we can get so much pack stuff going. I know there's so many sects and so many groups that we can adhere to and get caught up with. You know, and I'm not saying there's nothing wrong with being a part of a club or a group like that, but I'm telling you, Jesus better take precedence over all of that stuff. And don't get in this pack mentality that I'm going to do it this way because my friend is doing it this way. My friend thinks this, so I think this. Because if I don't think this, this is the truth. If I don't think this, then I might lose my friend. See, that's what's going on. You don't want to lose your friend because you love your friend more than you love Christ. Okay, that's where you have to deal with, you know. Because you get to a point where you have to love him more. And I'm going to tell you something, folks, and this is my own testimony. I was doing that stuff. I didn't want to offend people. I didn't want to get on people's bad side, and I didn't want to offend folks. I was careful, you know, and I was all this, and I don't want to. But I'm telling you, if that person doesn't know Jesus Christ, that spirit that rules them, that spirit going to turn on you one day. I'm telling you, I had that happen. Trying to appease my unbelieving friends. You know, not hanging with them. You know, they knew I was a Christian. But sometimes, folks, there comes a point where you got to stand. Because at some point, you're going to disagree with them. And if you're not, you better check yourself. Because at some point, in some situation, you're going to disagree with them. And will you stand? Because that spirit that operates in an unbeliever knows who you are. They know you're a believer, don't you? This is a spiritual battle, folks. I'm trying to tell you, it's a spiritual battle. They see Jesus Christ. Those demons know. Oh, one of them Christians, one of those believers. One of them born-agains. Well, hey, Sally, today we're going to turn on her. I know you've been friends, but we're going to turn on her today. And Sally has no power. Remember, if Sally doesn't know Jesus. So Sally could turn on you because she doesn't know Jesus. You wonder why things happen. I'm going to tell you, because they're spiritually discerned. And if you're not spiritually discerning and looking at the world through the spiritual eye, you will miss it. And you'll wonder why people are doing this. And you'll be trying to explain yourself. And you'll be trying to do this instead of listening to the still small voice of the Holy Spirit. Folks, that's why you have to pray every morning. You have to line up with His word every morning. I'm telling you, don't go out without your armor on. Don't go out without your armor on, because you got a target on your back. You got a target on you. And no other time like today. I understand why the scripture says if he delayed his coming, even the very elected ones would have been deceived. I understand that now. I didn't understand that years ago when I read it. But in this day and age, I understand what he means now, because even believers are kind of waffling. And what the Bible says is dead wrong. No, it's okay. It's all right. And I said, oh my God, what's happening to us? It's what his scripture, what the scripture said. If he delayed his coming, we shift. We compromise. Most of the reason is because of fear. We don't want to lose our standing. We don't want to lose our status. We don't want to lose our relationships. You know, but folks, I'm telling you, the day is here. It is here. It's not even coming. It is here. Where believers, either you're going to stand or you're not. Either you're going to believe him or you're not. You got to be willing to lose friendships and relationships and stand for Jesus Christ. Keep loving. Keep loving, because I've had that happen too, you know. Yeah, you turned on me, but I'm going to keep loving. I'm going to keep loving, and they come right back around, man, knowing what they did. But and you can see the sorrow, but you loved me. You showed me who Jesus is. I thought you were just putting on a show. I thought you were trying to be holier than thou, but you showed me what Jesus is, because you loved me. And that's what he means by these sacrifices that we make, to be who he wants us to be. So we want to hear the one voice, excuse me, which is Christ. Next point, as you hallow or hold to his name as the headstone of the corner, you hold to your life as a living stone in the city of God. For this is contained in the scriptures. Behold, I am laying a Zion. There's our scripture again. We keep going back to it. A laying in Zion a chosen stone, a precious, honored cornerstone, and he who believes on him, who adheres to, trust in, and relies on him, will never be disappointed in his expectations. Isn't that a beautiful promise? Yes. If you adhere to, remember we showed the example of the Band-Aid? I am stuck on a Band-Aid, and a Band-Aid stuck on me. That's the way you got to be with Jesus, you know? You've gone through all this. And you stuck on them. That's what this scripture means. Whoever relies on, adheres to, trusts in, will never be disappointed in his expectations. In this scripture, Peter was quoting Isaiah. Zion refers to the mount where the temple of God was built in Jerusalem. It also refers to Jerusalem, the city of God. That's what Zion means. It means city of God. Christ is the cornerstone of the city of God. The new Jerusalem that is being created for believers, and for believers, the living stones. We are the city of God, and one day he will gather us out of this world and finally set us into his holy city, the new Jerusalem. Don't you long for that day?
Yes.
Sometimes my heart aches for that day. Sometimes I'm so tired. I'm like, Lord, I'm just so tired. And I long for the day, you know. And he says, get up and go again. I'm coming. I'm coming soon. But get up and go again. Occupy until I come. And he's coming. He's coming. I tell you, he's coming, y'all. Some people don't believe he's coming, but he's coming. I'm like, when we did that the study on the bridegroom. Don't you know that his love compels him to come back and get his bride? His love won't keep him away. See, his love is not, as the old deacon said, y'all don't know what I'm talking about. We had an old deacon at our church back home that used to say, y'all don't know what I'm talking about. He'd be talking about Jesus and we'd just be sitting there in silence. He goes, y'all don't know what I'm talking about. But his love for you compels him to come back for you. So you can believe he's coming. There is no way he's not coming. After all he did, he coming. The book of Revelation records, then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away. It had vanished, and there is no longer any sea. And I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, arrayed like a bride adorned for her husband. And then I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, see, the tabernacle of God is among men, and he will live among them, and they will be his people, and God himself will be with them as their God. Hallelujah. Don't you long for that day? When Pastor Steve started the series this year on the end times, and boy, when he got on that part about the New Jerusalem, was describing it and how big it was and all of these different things, it was just so amazing to hear about this great city that is coming. And folks, I'm telling you, I tell people all the time, you can't pray away the book of Revelation, okay? I don't want to pray away the book of Revelation, you know, because God at some point got to wrap up this mess. Okay, he's got to wrap this up, okay? This has got to come to an end. Enough already, okay? Enough all the heartache. You know, most of us, we live sheltered, somewhat sheltered lives. We have no idea what goes on in the rest of the world. The children that suffer and die and the things that go on and the starvation and, oh, God, the abuses that go on in the rest. We have no idea in this nation. But I'm telling you, he sees it all. And I'm telling you, he's coming. He's coming to wrap this up. Every prophecy, every single prophecy that this book declared has come to pass. Except for the end times and the rapture. The rapture is next in line, folks. It is next in line. He coming. I hope that stays in your head all week. He coming. I hope it wakes you up in the middle of the night. He coming. So our next point, those who disobey God's word will be offended by Christ, just as the priests of Israel were. Although the scriptures that they knew and studied were being fulfilled before their eyes, they still chose to reject the Son of God. How sad. They chose to be offended by his words rather than obey them. Therefore, the kingdom of God was taken from them and given to another people who would produce fruit or build in the kingdom. The people of faith in the Savior, the headstone of the corner. And this is what happened. This is what happened in Israel. The people that had the word, holding the word of God, studied the word of God. If anyone should have known about the Messiah, they should have. They should have recognized the Messiah. But sometimes this is a choice. Because the disciples recognized him. Many of the people recognized him. But the ones that were right there, they chose not to recognize him. They chose not to. You know, thank God for Nicodemus, who had to sneak out by night to come visit and like, okay, and just talk to him. Wanted to know, are you the Messiah? And that's when those famous words, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. He was talking to Nicodemus at the time, the priest that kind of snuck out to talk to Jesus. Because he was trying to be truthful to the scriptures. The sick are being healed and this is happening just like the scriptures have said. And, you know, folks, this is a choice thing. so people can choose to be offended by Christ. In this day and age, it's nothing new. Today, people are offended. How dare you say, I can't sleep with whoever I want to sleep with. How dare you say that this is wrong? How dare you say? Offended. It's not you saying, it's the Word of God saying it. But offended by it. And therefore, I'm going to reject it. And the scripture is Matthew 21:42, where he says this. Jesus asked him, have you never read in the scriptures, the very stone which the builders rejected and threw away has become the chief cornerstone? This is the Lord's doing, and it is marvelous and wonderful in our eyes. Therefore, I tell you, the kingdom of God will be taken away from you. What a sad word to them. Because you rejected what the Lord has done. Therefore, the kingdom of God will be taken away from you and given to another people who will produce the fruit of it. And he who falls on this stone will be broken to pieces, but he on whom it falls will be crushed. Folks, that's a hard word right there, because it talks about everything concerning Jesus Christ. He is the cornerstone, and you got to line up with him. And if you choose to reject him, guess what? You will be broken to pieces. If this stone, you're going to be crushed. You can't fight this. I was listening to somebody the other day, you know, that was talking about this guy that was an atheist. And he was trying to find all these ways to disprove Christianity and all of this stuff. And the guy was like, he finally came to the conclusion. He said, now, if Jesus Christ wasn't who he said he was, then his followers would have died out. You know, I mean, after he died, you know, like everything else, you know, I mean, nobody's talking about the Beatles anymore. You know, they were a sensation. They pop up here and there. You know, you might get a Beatles revival here and there, but nobody's really talking about the Beatles. They came and they went. Everything came and went. But this Jesus Christ, still has billions, not millions, billions of followers. So there's got to be something to this man concluded. He's got to be who he said he is, because everything else passes away. But he seems to be remaining as the central figure in the human race. Therefore, he concluded, he must be who he says he is. He must be the Son of God. And this atheist ended up giving his life to Jesus Christ. Because logic dictates, history dictates, that he is the Son of God. You don't have to be worried about building on this stone. Like, what if I step out on Jesus? What if I believe him and it all falls apart? It won't. But I guarantee you what he said in this scripture is going to come to pass. If you're offended by him, if you reject his word, you don't want to obey it. You don't want to listen to it. You know, mankind, humanity, we're arrogant, we're prideful. That's where it all stems from. We're too proud. We want to do what I want to do. I want to do what I want to do. I don't want to listen to Jesus. The old cry, if it feels good, do it. It's a lie, folks. And it will crush you in the end. Sometimes I get so disturbed at the media and some of the shows that are on TV and some of the stuff they teach the next generation coming up, and I look at some stuff and I tell, you know, I used to tell my daughter, that's a lie. That is a lie. They make you think, they kill me, especially they mess with us women a lot, because they show, oh, he loves you, you can sleep with him, you can do whatever, and he, you know, you can sleep with anybody, he can sleep with anybody, but in the end he's gonna love you. I'm like, that's a lie. I'm going to tell you right now, daughter, that's a lie, okay? Because the enemy lies to them and makes them think this is the way to live. This is the way to be. Young man, this is the way to be. It's a lie. And it will end in their destruction. End in their destruction. That's why so many people are HIV positive today. It's a sad state of affairs. Because they don't tell you. You know, see, I watch these TV shows. They don't tell you about the sexually transmitted diseases. They don't tell you about HIV. They don't tell you about pregnancies. They don't tell you about all that stuff. They just show the glamour and the glitz and, oh, he loves me, he loves me, he loves me. No, I'm like, that's a lie. The truth, the truth, the truth will set you free. That's why you got to love Jesus above everybody. Above everybody, you love Jesus. You hold him. That's why he said what he said. Whoever doesn't hate mother, father, sister, brother, husband, wife, son or daughter more than me, you ain't going to make it.
No.
You're not going to make it to completion if you love all these other things. Because these things will let you down. They don't mean to. They're human. You let people down too.
Mm-hmm.
So we can't judge each other because we're all. For all have sinned and come short of his glory. But what he says, adhere to me and everything will be all right. I'll teach you how to love your family. I'll teach you how to love the world. If you adhere to me and keep me as the on top of your, on the top agenda. My agenda is above anything else. The Apostle Peter, one who witnessed the rejection of Christ, wrote these words. The stone the builders rejected has become the cornerstone, and a stone that causes people to stumble, and a rock that makes people fall. They stumble because they disobey the message, which is also what they were destined for. Now I want you to really hear this scripture. Because what it's saying actually is those who reject Christ are appointed or destined to stumble or fail or to fall. So if you're not obeying Christ, guess what? You got an appointment with failure. Wow. I don't know. That hit me. That was like, so they're destined? Where if you don't, yeah. Yeah. The other shoe has to drop, folks. At some point, the other shoe got to drop in your life, and you got to understand what the Lord is saying here, that you have an appointment with failure. In contrast, those who hold sacred the headstone of the corner will never be disappointed. As the scripture says, you will never, if you adhere to me, you will never be disappointed. Yes, you will go through some disruption here on earth. You will face some ridicule. You will battle demons. But in the end, you will not be disappointed. Because as the scripture has said, he will do exceedingly abundantly above what you can even ask or think. I know it's a sad day. I know sometimes you have sad. You know, I love that song, It Is Well With My Soul, that we were playing, because I remember that song, and I remember the history of that song. I know we talked about it. The man who lost his children, lost all his children. I think he had 3 or 4 girls, lost them all on an ocean voyage. And his wife wrote to him and said, saved alone. She was saved, but the children were lost. And he wrote these words. Can you imagine? Through the tears, writing this song. And to the day, it ministers that to you. You can hear the sadness even in the song. It is well. And he says, when peace like a river attends my way, and what is it, storm clouds like sea billows roll, whatever my lot you have taught me to say, even so it is well with my soul. And today that man, I believe, is unified with his children and his wife in glory. See, that's our hope. See, we don't, Christ doesn't lose anything. We'll be reunited with those that died in Christ. Christ has been tried and tested and found to be the true cornerstone of God's kingdom. It's not religious rules or a ritualistic behavior. It is relationship with Christ that is the cornerstone of you being in God's kingdom. As I said, this is a personal thing. So it's not about you going through the motions every Sunday and doing what you're supposed to do and all of this. It's about the relationship. As much as wicked men and women have tried, they cannot remove him as the headstone of the corner of the kingdom of God.
Hallelujah.
They've tried, folks. And they will keep trying. You know, sometimes it's subtle. Sometimes you don't even see it come until it's right up in your face where they're trying to replace Jesus Christ with all kind of other stuff. The enemy will try to remove Christ as the cornerstone of your faith through many things, through trials, through disappointments, through distractions. But as the prophet Isaiah spoke thousands of years ago, he said this, therefore the Lord God says, and here we go again. This is Isaiah. We were talking in Peter before. Listen carefully. I'm laying in Zion, in the city of God, a stone, a tested stone. Oh, boy, I don't believe this. Okay. Sorry. A precious stone. Cornerstone for the secure foundation, firmly placed. He who believes, who trusts in, relies on, adheres to that stone, will not be disturbed or give way in sudden panic. Boy, that's the Amplified. Will not give way, will not be disturbed. So you don't have to be disturbed today. You don't have to be in panic today. See, if you're on the cornerstone, you don't have to worry. You know, what does the apostle say? To live is Christ, and to die is gain. You know, if you kill me, I gain. I'm in the New Jerusalem. I'm in glory. Yeah, I'm promoted, you know. Hold sacred the headstone of the corner in the heat of the day and in the chaos of the world. You know, I think about some of the movies you watch and how people are trying to get other people to do things. And sometimes they'll hold a gun to your loved one's head. And I'm saying that, folks, the time's coming. That may happen. They're holding a gun to your loved one's head. And then people give in. People give in. But I'm telling you, folks, if you really believe this, what do you do?
Hallelujah.
Having done all the stand, you stand there for. I'm telling you, I think that's a tragedy. I've heard of missionaries that have gone through that, where soldiers came in and threatened to kill their family if they don't deny Christ. And they stood, and they killed their family. But he believed. They're going on to glory. That young girl at when the Columbine shooting occurred all those years ago. Remember, they told her to deny Christ, and she would not. And they killed her. Wow. Whoever does not love even his own life. We're talking about standing here. Jesus Christ, he is the cornerstone of salvation of humanity. History testifies to this fact. Nothing and no one has endured the test of time as he has. And I put on the back of your handout this poem. And I remember reading this poem like years ago, 20, 30 years ago, I read this thing. And it's called The Central Figure of the Human Race. And it says he was born in an obscure village, the child of a peasant woman. He grew up in still another village where he worked in a carpenter shop until he was 30. Then for 3 years, he was an itinerant preacher. He never wrote a book. He never held office. He never had a family or owned a house. He did not go to college. He never visited a big city. He never traveled 200 miles from the place where he was born. He did none of the things one usually associates with greatness. He had no credentials but himself. He was only 33 when the tide of public opinion turned against him. His friends ran away. He was turned over to his enemies and went through the mockery of a trial. He was nailed to a cross between two thieves. While he was dying, his executioners gambled for his clothing, the only property he had on earth. When he was dead, he was laid in a borrowed grave through the pity of a friend. 19, now 20 centuries have come and gone, and today he remains the central figure of the human race and the leader of humankind's progress. All the armies that ever marched, all the navies that ever sailed, all the parliaments and congresses that ever sat, all the kings that ever reigned, put together, have not affected the life of humankind on this planet so much as that one solitary life, Jesus Christ. So folks, he is who he says he is. He is who he says he is. And our final comment, we're going to open for some comments and questions. Our final comment is from Dante, the Divine Comedy. I don't know if you ever read that book, but it's an interesting book that talks about Dante's travels from hell to purgatory to heaven. But this is a comment that he made in his book that I thought was in our book that I thought was really great. And it says, I raised my eyes aloft and beheld the scattered chapters of the universe gathered and bound into a single book by the austere and tender hand of God. And he did that. He did that. Even the story of our lives. Don't you know the story of each of our lives are gathered together. He has a book of our lives. All of our pages. The scripture says all of our pages, all of our the days are written in a book. And he gathers them by the tender. Sometimes his hand is tender and sometimes it's austere. Sometimes times are hard for us and sometimes things are good. I love the Lord because his word says a bruised reed he will not break and a smoldering wick he will not put out. So even on your hardest days, on your most difficult days, God's tender hand is there. So again, as we close this lesson talking about the headstone of the corner, Lord, I pray that you digest it, take it in because it's so important. This is not just a Bible study. This is not just a Sunday school class. Folks, we're getting ourselves equipped for the battle that is upon us. Not coming upon us, it is upon us. And we have to be equipped and stand. Having done all the stand, we stand. Any comments, questions? Margaret, you had a question.
You were saying that anyone who hates another father, I thought it was love.
That scripture says hate, mother or father.
I thought you said anyone who loves his mother or father more.
This scripture, and I have to get the scripture reference for it.
It is. Anyone who loves his mother, father, or brother.
No, the scripture says anyone who does not hate or does anyone who hates. I got to find the scripture. I'll find the scripture, but he uses the word hate. What is it? It's in Matthew. I know it's in Matthew. I don't have the reference right in front of me. Yeah, would you read it, please, Irene?
It says, anyone who loves his father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. Anyone who loves his son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me.
But there's another one. There's another one.
She's saying love like I was saying.
This is the NIV.
There's another one. There's another one that says that uses the word hate in comparison to me. And I don't have the reference. I had it in my lesson. I will bring it.
Matthew 10:37.
Yeah, it's in the Amplified.
Psalms 5:5.
It's in Matthew. I know it's in Matthew. Yeah.
Why do they say that? Anybody who hates?
The Amplified says, in comparison to me. You know, your love for Christ has got to be like a hatred toward other people because that's what it looks like. That's the way it may look like to other people. It may look like that. But listen to what I'm saying. The love you have for Jesus is so paramount. It's so great that it looks like that you hate other people. And people have been accused of that. Believers, are you listening to what I'm saying? You know, because people that have loved Jesus Christ have been accused of hating their family or hating other things because they're so in love and doing what Jesus Christ would tell them to do.
So because
it's not a literal it's
accused of hating because they don't like the things that hurt.
It's not hate in the sense that you're thinking about, okay? It's not that you go around hating people. That's not what Christ was saying here. What he was saying here as compared to...
Luke 14:26, it says, if anyone comes to me and does not hate his father
there it is. There
and
it
mother,
is.
His wife and children,
there it is.
His brothers and sisters, yes, even his own life, he cannot be my disciple.
That's a scripture. That's a scripture.
14:26.
Yes.
I wonder if he's saying like...
14:26.
I wonder if he's saying like...
Thank you, Irene.
He said they're hated by the world. I wonder if he's trying to show a comparison, Margaret.
He's trying to compare, say a comparison. Now, like your children.
I know a story too. Like,
yeah.
My brother-in-law is not a Christian, and my father-in-law is Michael Jordan, Mike Jordan in the church, and he always says, "My dad loves God more than he loves his own kid because." He doesn't do it in his mind what he thinks he should do, take care of him the way he thinks he should just hand everything to him like he does at church. So in his mind, he loves God more than he loves his kids.
Yeah. So absolutely. And I would think about a situation with a missionary, for instance. A missionary that would take his family from, say, the United States, where they have all these comforts, and move to a third world nation and live in a hut with a dirt floor, his kids would probably think, oh, you know, you hate us. Why would you do this to us? Why would you, you hate us? How, you know, that's the way it would look to them. But he is probably, he's following what Jesus Christ told him to be, do. So he loves Jesus. So even though his family sees him as hating, because that's what it looks like, you know, that's what he said. He wasn't hating his family. He was just being obedient to Christ.
He's giving up the comfort.
Yes, and sometimes when you're obedient to Christ, people may think that you hate them because you didn't do what they wanted you to do. So they think you don't care about me. In fact, you hate me because you know, and that's what people will think. But Jesus is telling them straight up, this is what you have to prepare yourself for. This is what you have to be prepared for if you're going to follow me. The large crowd was following him. So he turned around and he told them the truth. If you're going to follow me, if you're going to make it to the finish line, then you need to understand that you have to hate anything else. And he even says, hate your own life. He didn't mean that you go out and commit suicide. He meant you need to hate what you want. You have to hate what everybody else wants. So that's what that's about.
Everybody else wants to. You have to put your life, you have to put your desires, things that you want, behind the things of God.
Absolutely. That's what he, it's a strong word. It's a strong word, but I think Jesus wanted it to be a strong word.
You have to put your personal desires behind you and go after the body.
Yes. Yes.
We hate what they do. We don't hate.
Well, I can't. That's what.
Just like the homosexuals, we don't hate them. We hate their sin.
Yeah, but again, the scripture is the scripture. We can't rewrite the scripture. And I know there's a reason why he wrote it that way. He wrote it that way so that we could understand the gravity of what he's talking about, because we don't understand the gravity. As I said, we really don't understand it. We haven't been through enough to really understand the gravity.
He has to be greater. He has to be number one above all things or above everyone or anything.
Yeah.
I just have a testimony about that.
Yeah. Matt. Matthew. You can sit right there. Go ahead.
Well, like my family.
Sit.
My son. Oh. And when we moved there, I said, I moved there because of you. And my grandkids, and they're kind of like, well, you know, you never see them because you're always in church. It's like, you know, and I mean, he understands it after, but they love the Lord too. And he said, no, you have to put Christ first before anything.
Mm-hmm.
I have commitment that I have to fulfill that commitment to the Lord, not for me.
Mm-hmm.
It's not all about me. It's about the Lord. That
mm-hmm.
what he calls. What he did and called me to do something, that's what I'm going to do. I have to be obedient.
Yeah.
And then he realized, and I'm sorry, you know, I mean, I love your kids, believe
uh-huh.
me, that's why I'm here.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, I'm here to be with them,
mm-hmm.
but in balance, but I have to do my commitment to the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
Christ comes first.
Yeah.
And I also, you need to seek first the kingdom of God and all these things will be added into you,
mm-hmm.
you know. I'm not doing it because I want to do, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I want to do it because God wants me to do the things
mm-hmm.
I need me to do. So it's like, you know, they get offended They get defensive because sometimes, you know, when I talk to them in love, of course, I'm not going to judge you. I said, you know, you need to put God first before your kids. Because sometimes they put their kids first before anything else. You know, they don't go to church. You know what I'm saying? And they get mad at me sometimes. Like, you love your church first. You know, you love what you do. I said, I love that because that's what God calls me to do.
Great example. And I'm glad you used the word balance, because this is about balance. Mm-hmm. Because I've seen where people do get so caught up in the ritual, the religious rituals, that they neglect their family. I've seen that. But think about what we're talking about. We're talking about Jesus, who loves your children and your family more than you do. He is going to give you balance, like the Holy Spirit. That temperance, the Holy Spirit is about temperament, temperance, which means balance. So there are times when the Holy Spirit will say, you know what, spend time with your family. I know the Holy Spirit will do that. Spend time with your family today. Do this for this one today. Love this child this way today. Love this child that way today. You know, and that, and as they see it unfold, they will see what it is to put Christ first. Because see, had I not put Christ first, you know, sometimes we can get religious. We're not talking about being religious. Going to church, you know, as we were taught, every time the church door is open, you need to be there. You know, whereas the Lord will give you a balance on things. Be involved in this part of the ministry, but this part you have to let go and let somebody else do that. You know, because, you know, sometimes anytime I get too exhausted, I have to check myself to see am I saying yes to too many things. Because, oh, let me just do this for this, and let me do this, and let me do that. And when I get exhausted, I've heard the Holy Spirit say, tell me, I never told you to do that.
Right.
It's a good thing. As I said, it's a good thing versus a God thing.
Right.
Okay? So don't think you're going to not love your family. You will love them better. You will love them more than you could have ever loved them outside of Christ. What he is saying is that you have to put him first if you're going to love your family, especially when it comes to family fights. When you are mad at somebody, families holding grudges, family members holding grudges, if you have Christ first, you will not hold that grudge. You will forgive them. And the family is better because you can forgive and you can love. That's what we're talking about. But if you adhere, if you're adhering to God, God told me to get involved with this. And that's what I'm doing. I'm getting involved with this. You know, the Lord led me. You need to be to the Sunday school. Be faithful in it. You know, be here. Be faithful. Be doing what you need to be doing. Spend time at home preparing for the lesson. You know, so I spend time with my family, but I take care of this too, as the Lord has said. So it's all about balance. And he teaches me how to love my kids, how to do this. Okay, you need to go and take Matthew for some ice cream. No chocolate. Okay. Okay, but that was a good question. I'm glad you brought that up. Let me just finish this comment. I'm glad you brought that up, Margaret, I wanted to say, because I think that's an issue that comes up a lot. And that's why this has to be going on. So you're balanced. You know, sometimes God will say, take your family, go on vacation. You know, I've heard the Lord say, hey, stop and go and spend time with your family. If he's first, he's before your work, even your secular work. If he's before that, God will tell you to stop, close that laptop, and go spend time with your family.
I'm going to make another comment, but now I wanted to ask a question because you said don't hold a grudge against people.
Okay. May ask your question. Keep in mind, I got to get around to some other folks too.
It's hard because for me to not hold a grudge or forgive my husband because you're not happy. You know, you said you have to obey God, you have to be obedient, follow. And I know, and I'm sure I'm not, I hope I'm not the only one. How many times can you mess up and really do, you know, get the best of you?
You already know the answer to that question, Margaret.
Everybody's saying it around the table. And then I had a situation where Rachel saw Tony and just things just things that I give them, they're not letting them have, and things just that, and my husband had just been...
What's your question, Margaret?
My question is, then I got mean, and I'm not supposed to respond to him when he's mean, but I did, because he was just pushing my buttons all day.
What's your question?
So as long as I repent again, how many times can you,
Terrence,
can you repent?
Can I answer that?
Yes.
How many times do you want God to forgive you?
As many as I need.
Okay, there's your answer.
There's your answer.
And then just
and he will forgive me. He's got an obsession with paper. So, okay, you can clean the room. Matthew's cleaning the room, guys. Okay.
This is all speaking to believers.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
When you think about it, mm-hmm. this is to believers.
Uh-huh.
And we know,
mm-hmm.
you know, it just like,
yeah.
if the offense is there, and when you disagree,
mm-hmm.
should we voice it?
Again, yeah.
According to the way that...
And again, it comes back to that scripture. I'm telling you, I understand why he used that word hate. Because you got to hate even yourself. And that thing that wants to come out in you and just, and attack people when they hurt you. But if you hate yourself, put yourself out of the way and let Christ rule. Like, I'm going to hold my tongue and I'm going to forgive. And I'm going to let this go. I'm asking for the Holy Spirit.
Well, I kind of think, well, Karen.
You see, this is my training, see, because there would have been a time that would have bothered me, okay? Yeah. But I have had to learn to hate Karen's way and to love Matt. Okay, all right. Because see, if I was trying to, go ahead.
I just wanted to say, you know, you were talking about, you know, family and conflict sometimes. I think it's so powerful because if we're quiet enough, I had an experience when my father died. You know, a lot of times when there's a death, there's conflict in the family. And, my brother inherited the house. And the rest of us, you know, we kind of went, hey, wait a minute, there's something wrong with this picture. However, you know, I took it to the Lord, and it was such a powerful revelation for me.
Wow.
Because the Lord showed me that I needed to honor my father's decision.
Wow.
And also the fact that my brother and his family lived with my dad, and they took care of him.
Mm-hmm.
So it was so awesome for me, and then the Lord used mm-hmm. me to share that revelation to the other family members because they were upset about it.
Mm-hmm.
But you know what? And in doing so, my brother and I have become very, very close.
Yeah, see.
So it's just willingness to say,
yeah.
God, what's the message here?
Yes, yes.
Even my daughter moving out of state.
Yes.
Most of us want to keep our children close,
yes.
right?
Yes.
And the Lord gave me that scripture.
Yeah.
You know, they leave and they cleave to their spouse.
Yeah.
So, you know, just let it go and everything will be fine.
Yeah.
But the thing of it is that a lot of times we want what we want.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of times that's not what the Lord wants.
Yes, exactly. See? Yes.
My husband has never left his mother and came to me.
Let me just come and
Margaret.
And
it would be a miracle if you did.
And that's a wonderful case in point. Because especially when it comes to Margaret, let me just comment. Especially when it comes to issues like money and things of value like that. The house, you know, the family home, you know, to be able to lay that down, you know, because Jesus said so. You know, and sometimes that's what it comes down to, folks. You don't get a nice financial explanation why you should do this. Sometimes it's because God said so, you know, because he asked you to do it. You know, that's why you do it. And it doesn't make sense. As we were talking about in the early part of the lesson, it is not going to make sense to people. And people are going to be offended even by your decision to do certain things that you are called to do by the Lord to do. But you need to do it.
And all the time, the enemy was trying to use division.
Mm-hmm.
From the beginning, that
yes.
was his goal, was mm-hmm. to try to get you to start fighting with your brother over things
yeah.
until the Lord spoke to me.
Yeah.
It's not working. Yeah.
And that's what the enemy is always trying to do. As I said, divide. Just keep dividing us. And, you know, as we come to Christ, you know, Christ will bring us together in unity. So anyway, you have a lesson for next week. Study the lesson. As I said, digest it. I know some of these scriptures. Oh, man, Jesus hits us right between the eyes. But he hits us where we live. This is where we live. You know, we got all a bunch of stuff that we love. So again, we have to just really think about who do we love more. So let's pray. Father, we just thank you for your goodness and your mercy. We thank you for your love and your kindness. Father, I pray that we would believe you. Oh God, we were just raised in a certain way that we have learned to adhere to and to trust in so many other things. And we trust in money, Lord. We trust in status, Lord God. We trust in family. We trust in so many other things above you, Lord God. But I pray that we would put you first, Lord God, because only you can show us how to love. Lord, we don't even know how to love. We don't know how to love. So, Lord, show us how to care for our families and how to be balanced in you. Father, more than anything, I pray that you solidify our relationship with you, Lord God. Father, I pray that you would set our faces like flint as we endure those that are offended by you. Lord, as you live in us, we understand people would be offended by you, Lord. But I pray that we would continue, oh, Lord, to walk in love and walk in peace and walk in your spirit, Lord God. Father, we thank you. Lord, I pray that you would give us revelation knowledge in your scriptures, Lord God. Lord, your spirit, I pray that the Holy Spirit teaches us your scripture, Lord God, that as we read your word, we would get a revelation, Lord God. And Father, we would be moved to obey your word, not just read it, but to obey it. Oh, Lord, we just thank you for this. And, Lord, we just pray, Lord God, that you would be with us and keep us, Lord, lined up with the headstone of the corner. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen, amen.